When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And Paul said the same thing. He confirms that. But my experience was that one day, I asked my dad, I said, why do we travel so far? Why do we have to go so far to go to church when there's one right here close to the house, Dad? I was a little kid, I didn't know. And so he started explaining to me some things about the New Testament church that I never forgot. And that's exactly what I want to talk about this morning. The called out body, he called it. And so once he explained these things to me, I started understanding a lot of things that as a child, you don't really understand. Because as a child, I could have been led to anywhere and I would have followed my father. But he taught me about the New Testament church, this called out body. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I think it's important for us to know these things, especially for those of you friends of ours that are visiting us this morning. You're probably wondering why there are so many churches. There's one in every corner, basically. I've heard people tell me, yeah, there's a church in every corner. Well, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this one church that we find in the Bible? This one church that Jesus spoke about. And so what we want to do this morning is talk about the called out body. Now, there's many descriptive phrases in the scriptures applied to the New Testament church, meaning the term church. There's a lot of confusion about that. Now, it's very simple. If you noticed, this Greek word kuriakos, the Greek word is actually ekklesia. So kuriakos meaning belonging to the church or of the Lord, belonging to the Lord. And so the Greek word ekklesia, a lot of people say ekklesia. It's actually ekklesia. That's what we, in Latin, we say iglesia, ekklesia. That's the actual Greek word used by Jesus and the apostles. It means to call out, to call out. That's all it means, this called out body of people. And so when we get into the New Testament, we start understanding that the New Testament church is meant in two senses, and we're going to see them both. The universal sense, meaning it refers to all those in the whole world to called out into God's service, every single individual. And here we have Jesus saying, and I also say to you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It's a verse that we use all the time with people, when we're studying with people, because this is clear, tangible proof that Jesus said himself, this is a promise that he was going to build a church, and he sure did. And so we want to talk about the word church, and we're using it in two different senses. We just saw the universal sense, and now we're going to look at it in a local sense. And I want to use the Corinthian church for that, referring to all those called out of the world into God's service in any definite location, like here at Pecan Valley. We realize that there are other churches of Christ in San Antonio, but we are a distinctive, autonomous congregation here at Pecan Valley, just like there was in Corinth, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so these verses clearly tell us that there was a church in Corinth. There was a Lord's church in Corinth, and that was a local church there in Corinth. And so we're looking at this, at the called out body, and what the word church really means, because there's a lot of confusion about church. Some people pass by and say, oh, look, there's a church. That's not the church. It's just a building. And people misunderstand that when I tell them, what do you mean it's just a building? And sometimes they even pay respect to the building. They go like that, and they don't understand what the true meaning of church is. And so let's talk about the nature of this calling. We just finished saying that the church is a called out body. It's a called out body of people. Well, they're called of God. We are called of, it's the divine calling. And it says here in 1 Peter that may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yeah, we're a called out people. It's a divine calling. Notice here what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 and 8. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. So now we see there that this, the nature of this calling is also a holy calling. It's a divine calling, not according to our works, he says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before time began. See, God had this plan of redemption from the very beginning, but he didn't reveal it to anybody. That's why Paul called it a mystery, that the mystery had been revealed. And we know that mystery now. It's the calling. We are the spiritual Israel. And so called into fellowship and peace of Christ. And I like this, into one body. Yes, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're called into fellowship with the Son of God. It doesn't just happen. We have to be called. Everyone, every single individual on earth is called, but not all respond. And so let the peace of God rule in your hearts, says Paul, to which also you were called in one body. In one body. And be thankful. And we are thankful. Do you see any confusion in this verse here, my friends? Notice how it says you're called into one body. Remember when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to build a whole bunch of different churches and I'm just going to let people go wherever they want to go. That's called chaos. That's called confusion. And we don't serve a God of confusion. So we're called to be children of God. And that's exactly what Scripture tells us. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. It was, and it shall come to pass in that place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. Doesn't this remind you of what Peter said when he said that we're a holy nation, a priesthood? Remember when Peter talked about all that? A holy priesthood? And then right in the next verse, Peter says, remember that you were not a people of God, but now you are. Now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Yes. When you're called out and you respond to this call, these are the benefits, but they're only found in the kingdom of Christ, this church that he said he was going to build. So we're talking about the nature of this calling. Notice, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice where it says called to be saints. That's why I underlined it. You want to know why? Because a lot of our friends, when they hear the word saint, they think of these little idols. Yeah, Saint Jude and Saint... You're talking about those saints? No. It's a whole other understanding about the definition of saints. We want to give the Bible definition of saints. What is a saint? One who is called out, one who has put on Christ, became a member through baptism of his kingdom, of his church, and then the Bible says, now you're a saint. And people say, well, that means that you're completely perfect. You think you're a saint now? No. That's not what the meaning of saint is either. A saint meaning sanctified in Christ because of the obedience, because of doing the words of Christ. So we're called out. This is the nature of God's calling to those who are going to become Christian. And yes, like we said a while ago, it's a holy calling. It's a holy calling. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. That's why God says over and over, you be holy. Why? Because I am holy, he said.
And so if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to be children of God, if we're going to be called out into this body of believers, well, we need to be holy people. Now, does that mean that I need to think that I'm holier than thou? No, I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to live my life in sanctity. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be as holy as I possibly can. So guess what? I'm going to watch how I dress. I'm going to watch how I talk. I'm going to watch everything in my life because I want to please God. So when we meditate as the called out body, we meditate in these things, we understand exactly what God wants from us. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works like we just read, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has given us to Christ in Christ Jesus before time began. But as He who called us, called you, is holy, He says, you also be holy in your conduct, says Peter. And the Old Testament said the same thing. If you're going to be God's people, whether in the old law or in the new dispensation, you are called to be holy. Called to be holy. That's the nature of God's word. That's the nature of God's calling. And this is a heavenly calling. You see, we all desire heaven. That's why we're here. That's why we're faithful to God. We're a called out body. We're the people of God, which we were not once the people of God, it says. Notice how God is very blunt with us. You were once not my people, but now you are my people. Why? Because of obedience. Because of obedience to the word, because of obedience to my son. Remember in the transfiguration where these disciples want, oh, we're going to make tabernacles. God made it all go away. He said, this is my son. Listen to him. Yes. Don't focus on Moses. Don't focus on Elijah. Don't focus on anybody else. You focus on my son. And that's why everything that we do is all about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And so, heaven. Yeah, heaven. It's a heavenly calling. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Did you know that there are many Christians that believe in Jesus that they don't know that the Bible, the scriptures, call Jesus an apostle? An apostle. But he's more than that. He's our high priest. He's our king. He's King of Kings. And that's why we revere him. We love him. We respect his words. We never want the Lord to tell us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not keep my commandments? No, we want to keep his commands. We want to do his commandments. We want the Lord to be happy. We want the Lord to be satisfied with our works. Yes, we want to make God happy. So how are we called? Well, it's all made possible because of what Christ suffered on the cross. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Wasn't it Paul that said, imitate me as I imitate who? Christ. Now for Paul to say that, wow, that means that Paul was following. He was following Christ to the T. In order for him to say, hey, look at me, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. Wow, can any of us say that today? We need to try to say that. We need to try to be able to get to that point to where we're actually saying, look, you need to imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. So we're talking about how. We know that we're the called out. We've seen the verses. How? How are we called out? Well, the Bible says that we're called out of darkness of sin into his marvelous light. Because without God and without Christ in our lives, guess what? We are in darkness. Even though we see the light, we have light, we see everything, we're still in darkness. He's talking spiritually. Spiritual darkness, yes. And here's Peter. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises. There's another translation that says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I know for a fact, brethren, that we know these verses. We've read them before. We studied them before. But have you ever thought, you're looking at it, you say, wow, that's me right there. That's me. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priest. We're a holy nation. We're a special people for God. So if we think about all these things, how is my conduct supposed to be? Notice the great responsibility as a Christian. Notice who we are. Because that's what we're doing right now. That's what we do every day when we speak with people, when they see us. We're proclaiming the praises of God. I know I do. I know I do. Yes, I get ridiculed. Yes, I get put down. Just like you did, Frank, the other day. You told me about that. But you keep on going, brother. We got to keep doing it. We got to keep moving forward. We're a special people to God. We're a royal priesthood. You ever thought about that? How serious that is? Wow. We're talking about how. How are we called? How? Well, by the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And we keep saying this every week. Every single week that you come, friends, we're going to say the same thing. We don't change the gospel. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. Because it is powerful as it is. And we want to get the gospel. And we want to take it to you just the way Jesus brought it to us. Just the way the apostles taught it. That's what we want to do. We want to get this gospel and take it to people just the way it was brought to us in the Bible. And let me say something, my friends. We're not here to get your money. We're here to try to help you get to heaven. That's what we're here to try to do. And at the same time that we're proclaiming this, we're also here to try to get ourselves into heaven. And so, how are people called out? Well, we are bound to give thanks to God, says Paul. Always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the very beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief. Yes, and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to glorify Jesus in your life? You want the Lord to be happy with your life, with how you're living it? You want to glorify him? This is how you do it. You answer to the call. You respond to that call. We want to always, always be able to do that. Why? Why is that? Because there is no other hope. There is none. We're talking about the New Testament church here. I started off by explaining what the word church meant, what the Greek word was, just to remind us that, yes, there is a certain definition that people need to know about. They need to know about these things. You want to know why? Because the world doesn't. I've had so many of my friends tell me, well, they're in every corner. I thought you can just, one of our nephews was just telling us, I thought you can just go just anywhere. I thought you could go anywhere and just worship God. I mean, they're preaching God, aren't they? I say, yes, they're preaching God, but they're not preaching God's truth. They're not being conservative with the word of God. And so when you start explaining all these things to them, yes, you want to be called out, but you want to be called out rightfully. Rightfully. If not, Jesus would have never said what he said in Matthew 7 and 21. If you recall, when he said he was going to condemn many, many religious people that did good things in his name. Why is the Lord saying that? Why is Jesus saying, he's predicting, he's prophesying that at the end he's going to condemn good people that did things, good things in his name? And he also goes on to say that, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Yes, I can preach Christ till I turn blue in the face, but if I'm not preaching his truth, it's for nothing, and I'm going to be responsible for misleading you. And that's why, my friends, I ask you, I plead with you, you need to become a member of the Lord's church as soon as possible, because that is the right church. It is the only church mentioned in the Bible. This is not a popular message, because people then say, well, you're trying to tell me that all the other churches have no hope? I'm not trying to tell you anything, friend. That's what the Bible says. Let's talk about hope for a minute. Let's talk about the hope of this calling. Why? Why is hope so important? Because it is everything to us. Everything. The hope of heaven is everything to us. And so, yes, we want to respond that we may be worthy of this calling. We want to be worthy of the calling of God. And how is this? Well, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, says Paul, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be what? Here we go once again. Glorified. It's all about glorifying the Son. Everything that we just sang this morning was about glorifying the Son in our worship service, in our song service. Everything that we did was to glorify the Son of God in this memorial, this feast that we just had. And if your mind was somewhere else when we were doing this, you're taking the Lord's Supper for your own damnation. Our minds need to go back to the cross. They need to go back to that anguish, all the pain, all the blood. It was gruesome. It was gruesome. But he did it all for this calling. It was all part of this plan, this beautiful plan of redemption that God had from the very beginning, before time began. So that Christ may be glorified in you. Yes, in us. How am I going to glorify God in my life if I claim to be a Christian? I can't control my mouth. I can't control the people that I hang around with. They influence me to sin. And I'm still hanging around with them because they're my buddies. And it could go on and on and on. It could be buddies at work. It could be anything. It could be a coworker. You might be having problems in your marriage. It could be a coworker that comes up to you and starts being friendly, and it might be a female and you're a male. That's trouble. That could spell trouble. A lot of things like that. Satan is just ready to trample on our weaknesses. Just ready. Ready to disqualify us from this hope. The hope of this calling. It could be a lot of different minute things. So that we may glorify Christ, it says, in us and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What is Paul trying to say here? Well, I need to glorify Christ in my life and he will glorify me right back. When you think about that, when you think of how powerful that is from wherever Jesus is, and he is at the right hand of God, which is beyond the blue, he is at the right hand of God. And this is exactly what he's doing from right there, right then and there. He's glorifying us as we glorify him. It's a two-way street. Beautiful. How beautiful is that? So, we're talking about the hope of this calling. Yes, we need to be worthy. We need to be worthy of this calling. We must. It's vital. I know that I'm worthless and I'm a sinner. But if I keep persevering and I keep repenting and I move away, I'm moving away from those sins that get me. And the Lord knows if we're trying. He knows our hearts. You're not around me all the time. I'm not around you. I don't know what your weaknesses are, but the devil does. And the Lord knows. And what does the Bible tell us? Which is so reassuring. He gives us a way out. Every time we get tempted, he gives us a way out. We just got to be looking for it. We got to be looking for it. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, says Paul. Another word is, I beg you, says Paul, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's break that down a little bit. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to live my life for Christ every single day. And notice what the commandment is. This is a commandment. It's a make sure that we walk worthy of our calling with which we were called, with all what? Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering. So guess what? If I'm an aggressive person and I speak aggressively with people and I have this mentality, and then I say, well, I'm a Christian, but God understands this is just the way I am. I'm not complying with the command. I'm not. We never want people to say about us, oh, that person has a bad attitude. They have a bad attitude. Never. Never. And guess what? Sometimes we are not in such a good mood. Right? We understand that. That sometimes we're just not in good moods. But people need to not see that. They need to not see that. So guess what I started doing? Even when I had the headache, even when I just wasn't feeling well, even when I just didn't want to be around people, I always had a smile. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? And you know what people say? Man, Jesse, you're always smiling. You're always smiling. I do that for a purpose, because I smile even when I don't feel like smiling. Because the first impression for somebody that we're trying to gain to Christ might be our facial expression. And say, man, that guy, he looks like he got a bad attitude. Let me get away from this guy. No. No. Let's be worthy of our calling. How? With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing. Bearing with one another. Who do you think he's talking about? Is it talking about me and my buddies? No. He's talking about those of us that have been called out. This called out body of believers. This called out body of people whom we are. We need to bear with one another. We need to work with each other. We need to love one another. And that pleases the Lord. So that is the hope of this calling, that we may be worthy, that we may inherit. We want to inherit heaven. Yes, we want to inherit blessings. That's what it's all about. And how do we do this? I just finished talking about attitude. I just finished talking about facial expressions and all these things. Well, watch this. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, you return blessing for evil. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You know what that verse is telling us? You want to inherit a blessing? This is how you do it. Is that easy to do? Let's face it, there are people that just, they're not easy to love. They're not easy to love. And they persecute us. And they ridicule us. And they do all these things, all these evil things to us. And it says, you better return blessing. Don't return evil for evil. Return a blessing. Ask them if they're thirsty. Ask them if they're hungry. What? They're my enemy. No. Love your enemies, said Christ. Love your enemies. It's not easy to do. But it is easy if we start practicing it. Practice, practice, practice. That's what it takes. Every single day. Every single day. We're talking about having the hope of heaven. Yes, we were called out. And yes, we've been living a life of a Christian. And I'm recommending, and I'm again, friends, if you are not a member of the Lord's body, you need to think about these things. This one church that we're talking about, this hope that we have only in the kingdom of Christ, does this hope exist? The blessings in Christ only exist in this one church that he said he was going to build. And when he says, even the gates of Hades are not going to... People say, what does that mean? He's basically saying, even though they're going to murder me, it's not going to stop me from building my church. Hope of this calling unto perfection. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be as perfect as we can for the Lord. We're never going to be perfect, but we strive for perfection. Notice, Paul again. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, not in anybody else, but in Christ Jesus. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you, he says. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We need to all join in together in this walk. I can't do it on my own. You can't either. He called out this body for a reason. There is a reason why we are a body of believers. And we get together because we strengthen one another. Yes, we walk in here weak. Yes, we walk in, we worship God, we're weak. But we walk out of here, you know this is true. We walk out of here feeling strengthened, feeling fortified, feeling that we can, okay, once again, one day at a time, we take on the world because we know that we're not up against flesh and blood. We know that. We have this hope of heaven, making our calling and election sure, making sure that we're in. Let's not deceive ourselves. Therefore, brethren, be evermore diligent to make your calling and election sure. Make sure, he says. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I really like this verse, brethren. You want to know why? Because they're so easy to understand. They're simple, but yet very, very powerful for us. We're talking about this called out body. We're talking about making sure that once we're in this called out body of believers, we'll make sure that when we're in the kingdom of Christ, we want to make sure that our calling and election is for sure. Let's not think of ourselves as, well, hey, I've already been saved. I'm good. I don't need to do anything else. I'm already saved. I've been baptized. The Bible says I needed to get baptized. I'm done. That's only the very beginning. Because if that were so, then Peter would have never written this. He says, brethren, be ever more diligent. This takes diligence, and it really does. It takes diligence to make sure of our calling and election. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you need to reconsider some of these things that we talked about this morning. You need to really, really consider everything that's been spoken. This is the reason. This is the answer that my father gave me many, many years ago when I asked him, why don't we just go there? It's closer to the house. Can you imagine? That's how kids are. They ask questions like that. And this is the response that I got from my dad. He explained to me about this church that you find in the New Testament. And we need to belong to that church. All these other churches, he said, they don't belong to Christ. And we can prove that with the Bible. This is not just man-made opinions. So, friends, the lesson is yours. If you haven't responded to the call of the gospel, now is the time to do it. Tomorrow is not given to us. It's not a guarantee that it's going to come. Maybe you've been thinking about this. Maybe you've been thinking about putting on Christ in baptism. I don't know what's keeping you, but I'm going to ask you the way Saul was asked. Why are you waiting? Get up and get baptized. That's what he was told. Why are you waiting? We should not wait. It's an easy, easy act. And it proclaims the excellencies. And also it puts us in the saved state. We want Christ to be in us. And if we want that, we need to put on Christ in baptism. The old person needs to die in the water and be raised into newness of life and start living for Christ. Maybe you've already done that. And maybe you haven't been living the life. Repentance, like I always keep saying, it's healing. It's spiritual healing. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. If you let pride get in the way, you don't come up and repent if you need to. This is very displeasing to God. If we want to draw near to God and we want Him to draw near to us, we need to do His commandments. We need to make sure of our calling and our election. If we can help you in any way, open your books to number 304 as we stand and sing the invitation song.